Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, March 7th, 2023. Howdy-dee, Dave.
Howdy-doo. What's up, Melody? Yeah. Happy National Crown of Roast Day. What's slowly cooking in our crock pot as we speak and marinating with good old Pennsylvania Dutch sauerkraut. And that's all I'll have to say about that.
Beef and sauerkraut? Ew. Is that what you said?
No, it's a pork roast.
Oh, pork roast. Okay. All right. Yes. All right. I thought you said, I'm thinking, ew, beef and sauerkraut. Although that might start a new fad, you know? Everybody's going to go out and try it now. Oh, yum. Beef and sauerkraut with horseradish.
Oh.
How about that?
I like.
I don't know, but you can have. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't like what happened to the gold prices today. And, again, it's just some silly, it's just amazing. You know, the old Jerome Powell says a couple words and all of a sudden everybody's in a tizzy and has to react. It's like, why don't they do what us gold and silver buyers do? You know what's going on and know how this all ends. Buy gold and silver and you sit back and you watch the circus. And unfortunately, though, part of the circus that they've included was the pressure on gold. And we certainly have seen that today. So we'll start with that. Then we'll talk a little bit about what he did say. And then you'll see how ridiculous it is what he said. So gold today down $31, $18.16. Great buying opportunity, folks. Silver, 20.17. You can now buy Silver Eagles under $30. How long has it been since we were able to buy a Silver Eagle under $30? It's been a while. Platinum down 45 at 941. Palladium down 41 at 1,454. But with all that news, it took the U.S. dollar to an all-time high, but a pretty high, 1.33 to the upside, 105.6. Zero. So a big move in the dollar. Crude oil was down $3. A big move in crude oil, 77.43. paper markets, you had the Dow down almost 1.75%, 574 points, 32,856. The S&P is down 1.5%, 62 points to 3,986. The NASDAQ was down 1.25%, 145 points. I wish it was down 45%. Yeah. That means gold would be $80,000. But anyway, 11,530. Oh, let's see. The European markets, of course, were all negative, but most of them were all under 1%, so no biggie there. Same way with the Asian markets. Shanghai was down a little over 1%. 10-year yield is still holding around that 3.97 mark, but I think, I don't know if I can bring up, I think the, did I read where the 2-year actually was a full point over the 10-year? That hasn't happened since, let's see, it topped 5% for the first time since 2007. But I also saw a number where it was 1981. There was some comparison, but the one I'm looking at right now, 2-year Treasury yields topped 5% for the first time since 2007. So pretty interesting there, folks. Natural gas was up almost 3.5%, 2.659. So, you know, a pretty crazy day in the markets today, and we'll have to see how it folds out for the rest of the week. But we had Powell was warning senators, he was on the Hill today, that the Fed could hike higher for longer. So I don't know why we would be surprised. You shouldn't be. But I guess a lot of investors were, as the Fed chair warned the senators and the Senate Banking Committee that interest rates are likely to head higher than Fed policymakers had expected. Well, they ought to ask them about the word transitory. So does the Fed policymakers really even know what to expect? Obviously not. Powell said anyway, the latest economic data have come in stronger than expected, which suggests that the ultimate level of interest rates is likely to be higher than previously anticipated. Again, a little bit of... So, there you have it. And so now they're talking about a half a point, 50 basis points rise. I mean, he was doing a whole lot more than that. So, you know, I mean, it's like, what is the big scare? What was the big surprise? I don't know. I don't think it should surprise anyone. But that's so I there's got to be something a little bit more behind this, Dave, than just his little speech up there in the on the Hill. But
it just shows once again how these high-frequency computer trading algorithms just manipulate not just the paper markets, but also, I mean, gold ETFs, which are subject to that. I mean, that's why you really need to, I mean, think real hard about physical gold and silver. That's your protection, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you see what the gold ETFs did?
I did not, I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
I'll take a quick look. I mean, Powell again said the full effects of our tightening are yet to be felt. Even so, we have more work to do. Now, after the Senate Banking Committee today, he talks to the House Financial Services Committee tomorrow. Probably a lot of the same things. But these markets now, I mean, as volatile as they are, I mean, it's still driven a lot by investor expectations. And when those expectations are unreasonable, well, then unreasonable things are going to tend to happen. And I don't know where this ends or how it ends. I still wonder, I mean, knowing that there's a lag effect, I mean, up to 6 months, some say even more, in Fed actions until it has, you know, its true impact on decisions it makes. Again, this is a Fed that can't help itself, and I think it's a matter of time until there's a broad recession. I think the only question remaining, Melody, is how deep and how long is it going to be?
And when will they finally admit to it? You know, folks, as far as I'm concerned, we've basically been in a recession. I mean, take away the fact that they basically closed the economies down. And yes, when they came back, yes, you were going to see this things return to normal. That's not new growth. That's just things returning to normal. So the recession really started back in 2019. And it was kind of covered up. It was kind of bypassed. You know, they admitted we were in a recession for 1 month. You know, so the whole thing is ridiculous. So let's just put everything into perspective and to think about how deep, you know, how deep this recession really will be. Thinking going back and look what they've done, the trillions of dollars they put into these markets. The money through the pandemic, through 2020 and 2021 and 2022, some of that money is going away. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. I don't even know how much more is out there to be given away. A lot of it wasn't used, but still. So, I mean, it's just, so did they really think that the economy would be able to recover and to bring us back to what normal would, you know, to a growth economy? But anyway, it's just so just think about where we really will be in that recession. And I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Good food for thought, Melody.
So we have North Korea. Here's another, you know, area that can really be beginning to come to the forefront with everything else going on is when we talk about, you know, wars and rumors of wars. North Korea, an influential sister of North Korea's dictator, warned today that her country is ready to take quick and overwhelming action against the United States and South Korea. Now, there has been comments. Inject those here in just a few seconds. Her comments come a day after the U.S. flew a nuclear-capable B-52 bomber in a demonstration of strength against the North. The U.S.-South Korean training yesterday involving the B-52 bomber over the Korean Peninsula was the latest in a series of drills between the allies in the last couple of months. Now, their militaries are also preparing to revive their largest field exercises just later on this month. Now, Kim Yo-young, the sister, and often discussed about replacing or taking over Kim Jong-un. Did I say that right, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
You're right on.
I get all confused. My question is she saying this to show strength to their people? As she tries to garner their support in taking over after the current leader. So this might be just some show in strength in her statement. I don't know, but it's just a thought, but they are kind of, but she didn't, and she didn't describe any planned actions. But they do test launched, but they have often tested launched missiles in response to the U.S. South Korean military drills, because they do view it as an invasion rehearsal. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. She said that we keep our eye on the restless military moves by the U.S. forces and the South Korean puppet military and are always on standby to take appropriate, quick, and overwhelming actions at any time according to our judgment. So I don't know, Dave. Either or both.
I don't either. Yeah, that's right. I mean, we know that we, the U.S., deployed B-1B bombers to the peninsula a few times earlier this year. Last month, the U.S. and the South also held a simulation in Washington aimed at, honing their potential response to North Korean nuclear threats. The Allies had canceled or scaled back some of their regular drills since 2018 to support now dormant diplomacy with the North. But they've been restoring some exercises after North Korea last year conducted a record number of missile tests, including an ICBM that they say is capable of reaching the Western United States. Whatever's going on there with the sister, it is an interesting development, and it'll be interesting as the weeks and months go on if there's more insight into what this latest gibberish is all about.
Well, it's interesting because, there were rumors that he was really sick during, 2021.
Yeah.
And even some said he died and he had an impersonator and so forth. Who knows? But it's interesting the timing that she's becoming out and showing some strength. So I'm sure there's others who know more than we do, but we're just kind of looking at the things and asking questions. Well, China's 2023 growth target is a little underwhelming. And so everyone is kind of looking for clues to see how that president, Xi Jinping, will run the world's second largest economy. Now, the modest growth goals suggest China's economy may continue to weigh on the global GDP this year. In 2022, China fell far short of its target of 5.5% economic growth. Its economy expanded by just 3% in 2022. It's the slowest rate of growth since 1976. But again, how much of China was shut down during 2022? The news set off a slump in some Chinese on China-sensitive commodities, suggesting that investors had expected a stronger commitment. Really didn't hurt their stock market that bad, but their stock market isn't the same as ours. You don't have the big swings, as well, it's only 3,000 and something. So you don't have the big swings, but still, it doesn't work the same way. But the one too big to fail bank wrote, the fact that the policymakers missed the around 5.5% growth target in 2022 might be one consideration behind the relatively unambiguous. Dave.
What?
All right. Yeah, I know. My tongue isn't working today.
Oh,
Capital Economics added the growth target suggests the authorities will not go heck for a leather to boost the economy after a long period of weakness during the zero COVID policy era, Dave.
Well, China clearly is in a state of flux these days. It's geopolitical tensions with the U.S. and the West in general, and their own domestic economic issues like their own struggling housing market, as well as declining demographics, i.e. population, act as growing headwinds to its economic recovery. On the other hand, American manufacturing growth started outpacing the rest of the world at the end of last year. That's according to the Atlantic Council's Geoeconomics Center. Production of renewable energy equipment saw a big uptick here last year, and oil exports soared as well.
I can't believe that's the music already. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. So it's a good day to pick up some gold and silver. Remember, I said you could buy silver eagles for under $29. And you can even pick up, we do have some, let me see what that would be. You can pick up some 1/10 ounce. I know everybody likes these. Let me see. Pick up some 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles 2023s for $215. So they really dropped a lot in the premium, plus the price of gold is down, and always had a lot of requests for those 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles. So now you can pick them up at $215. Pick up a tube of Silver Eagles for $580. So make that a little package for you. And, you know, hey, $800. I'll make it $800 for that package, and that'll include shipping. So it's really a good deal. $800 for a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20 Silver Eagles. And I only charged very little for shipping, $5 for shipping. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188 used car, wholesale used car prices. It's up for a third straight month. So, you know, customers were hoping for a deal this spring, maybe on a used car or truck. But they might be out of luck as the wholesale used vehicle prices increased. And February is the third consecutive month. Cox Automotive reported today that wholesale used vehicle prices increased 4.3% in February just from January. And that is the largest increase between the 2 months since 2009. It's funny how everything seems to go back to those years. Do you think maybe we're kind of going to relive them, but perhaps a little worse? Now, we've seen the prices down from earlier this year, but they're trending back toward record levels. This is according to, again, Cox's Manheim Used Vehicle Value Index. And what they do is they track the prices of used vehicles sold at its U.S. wholesale auctions. So yes, it's an unseasonably strong increase. It's not good for consumers that were hoping for some sort of a deal. But, you know, that was used. I know the administration had seen pre-owned vehicle prices as a barometer for easing inflation. So now that's beginning to increase a little bit more, Dave.
Yeah, well, the average listed price of used vehicles, $26,500 in January, down from record highs last year of more than $28,000. Retail prices for consumers traditionally follow changes in wholesale prices. Cox estimates that used vehicle retail sales declined 5% from January to February and were down 9%. From a year earlier. So see what happens the rest of this quarter and how that affects GDP when that comes out in April.
Wow. Now, I'm going to say something before I go into this article, because I think he's right. But where he's wrong is the price of gold. I think he's way undervalued. He's looking, this Pierre Lassonde, he's CEO of Fireside Investments. He's suggesting that a dual system of currency could emerge by 2028. And he's talking about, like, Russia will seek to diversify U.S. dollars after the dollar was weaponized following the conflict in Ukraine. He thinks in the next 5 years, you'll see this dual system of payment and currency. That's his forecast. What's precipitating this is essentially the Russian-Ukraine war, to his mind, over the next 5 years. He's only looking to see gold at $2,300 to $2,400 because of that. I'm sorry, if there's a two-tier system of currencies, there's a whole lot more going on that's going to push those gold prices a heck of a lot higher. Heck, we were already at 2,000. And that didn't have anything to do with a dual system of currency. And I agree with them. I think there's a real, very real possibility. I don't think it's just going to be, it depends on how the conflict in Ukraine ends. That's, and how it ends. He was speaking at the, but this person, Pierre, was speaking at the BMO Metals, Mining, and Critical Minerals Conference, and he said that the central banks are buying more gold as geopolitical tensions mount across the gold. We've reported that a little bit ago. Central bank gold buying in 2022 was the highest since 1950. It was the purchase of 1,136 tons. This follows 12 years of central bank net gold purchases. And what have you been doing? So you have the central banks buying gold at their highest since 1950. So now this Lassonde, who pioneered the publicly traded gold royalty model in 1983, he's got, you know, a few years experience, five decades. And he suggested that the central banks, especially in the BRICS countries, which are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are buying gold as a prelude to creating an alternative to the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, Dave.
Yeah, an interesting and not too way off base thought.
No, not at all.
Quite credible. He basically says the big question is, will they use gold to back a new currency? To which he responded, we don't know. What I do believe is that at the end of the day, you will end up with a dual world in terms of systems of payment and the currency you pay. That's not good for the dollar, which means inevitably it will be good for gold. He also says that a recession and stock market crash will happen sometime this year. Again, suggesting that the economic havoc that wreaks will result in gold prices jumping. He thinks, in fact, it's going to happen in the next two quarters, and is going to be a fairly significant recession. Now, Lasande also says the Fed will react to the recession by lowering interest rates, as it normally does, but not fast enough. Again, harming the U.S. dollar and cause investors to flock to gold.
Well, I mean, they used to have a unit of trade. I believe it was in gold, and then the reserve currency took over the U.S. dollar. And I do believe gold will be used, but I don't think it'll be used. Personally, I've always believed for 20 years now they'll have a basket of currencies they'll use. I don't know if it's the same one, the USDX, that they use now. They might rename it, they might create another one, or there might be even two of them maybe. But somehow the biggest problem is countries manipulating their currency. And just like what we're doing now, we're manipulating ours to the upside, and it's killing all of these emerging markets. It's killing them. And so China manipulate, everybody manipulates their currencies in order to do whatever they need to do to fix their problems that they have. So I believe gold will be placed in a basket of currencies, and that will help stabilize it'll make the currencies accountable. They won't be able to manipulate them to the degree that they do today. Will they still have power to do so? Yep, probably. But perhaps not as much. I don't think it's going to be a one-to-one issue. It might be maybe 10%, 20%, 30%, I don't know. Because, you know, he's right. We don't know. But changes are coming. That we do know. Let's see. What's next, Dave? Where would you like to go next?
That's a good question. I think this is interesting. I mean, it's somewhat repetitive, but I think it makes sense to repeat. Again, for economic types and public policy wonks and other listeners of financial survival, every release of jobs, inflation, and other indicators is pretty doggone important. But this round of upcoming data is extremely consequential. Of course, that's the headline so far from Powell's testimony on Capitol Hill today, and of course again tomorrow. Let's reiterate part of his opening statement where he said, if the totality of the data were to indicate that faster tightening is warranted, we would be prepared to increase the pace of rate hikes. Now, interestingly, after Powell's comments, expectations that the Fed would hike by a half point virtually doubled from yesterday's rate of 31%. It was 60% as of roughly noontime today. Now, that doesn't always mean something, but it often does. So as Melody mentioned earlier, another 50 basis point hike is going to probably unravel markets that are still thinking in terms of 25 basis point increases, maybe two, three more of them before they hit the peak rate. you know, even with the 8 increases over the last year, almost 11 months, I mean, the economy continues to come in stronger than expected. So anyway, Fed futures traders, Melody, now see rates going higher than the 5.1% that the Fed really implied in December.
It's interesting because the remember we read the report where someone had indicated that they would have to go to at least 6 unemployment. You know, what's the unemployment doing? That has had no impact, supposedly, in their terms.
Melody,
yes?
Excuse me. This took a long time to open. The target rate probability now for the March 22nd meeting is 71%. Now see a 50 basis point increase. So that jumped another 10 percentage points from lunchtime. Sorry.
Well, what's the percentage of it being higher? I mean,
That's the highest right now. It's 71%, and then the rest are 25 basis points.
Hmm. Well, it will be interesting. So, but again, but I don't know if you heard what I was saying about, you know, they're just going to have to keep raising them. You know, how can they keep raising? They're going to keep raising rates in one hand, and on the other hand, they're saying what a great economy we have. So,
yes,
as long as they continue to say what a great economy we have, he's going to have to raise rates to 10%.
Oh, God.
So somewhere along the line, they're going to have to start telling the truth about the economy and start talking about a recession and start talking about, you know, other than just using the inflation dropping a little bit because of gasoline prices and used car pricing. You know, that's not inflation. So, you know, and again, strong, correct me if I'm wrong, stronger dollar buys those cheap trinkets. We get more of them at a lower price. But then again, are we seeing companies? Are you seeing those cuts coming through to the store? So everybody's taking a little bit of advantage of of where they can to some degree. So if they can get more out of the buyer, the consumer who consumes no matter what the price is, you know, that consumer is being taken advantage of. But anyway, we've talked about this before. Now they're turning empty office spaces to residential apartments. And this is happening in D.C. Now, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think I read it someplace else where they were turning a mall into, you know, some sort of housing. I can't recall for what type of housing, but some sort of housing. And we've said this a long time ago, that these malls and everything else, these empty offices, now that they have allowed people to work at home and so forth, they're empty. What are they going to do with them? They're going to convert them into apartments. And that's the only thing they can do. They in D.C., they 383 units are currently under construction. Another 2,100 units are part of an upcoming project. Most of these conversions are concentrated downtown, but also span from north of DuPont Circle to southwest. They want to attract 15,000 new residents to live downtown. And so is that a wealthy area, Dave?
Well, you know, I'm not as familiar with downtown D.C. anymore as I was when I lived and worked there. But it really hadn't been. What I do know is that commercial rental rates had skyrocketed with the building boom of the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. But, I mean, most of the residential is in northwest D.C. and Southeast D.C. and not as much in, what they call, Metro Center or downtown. So this will be interesting for the district, and particularly for tenants looking for that city life, hoping, it's affordable.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in that city center. Anyway, I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Services.
Don't say nay, I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, one more time today. Welcome back to Financial Survival. I hope my voice holds out for the rest of the program. I'm Dave Allen. Melody taking care of other client business. This final segment, you know where to reach her, 1-800-375-4188. What a rush of gold and silver blog reader and Discount Gold and Silver Trading customer Charlie D. responded to recent articles about Social Security funding in our newsletter and blog. He emailed me this in part, quote, "I think that all politicians and office holders and government employees should have all of their retirement money invested in the same securities that Social Security is holding. They would theoretically buy a portion of the Social Security pool on taking office, and then when they leave, they could divest or remain," unquote. Well, thanks for those comments, Charlie. They got me thinking that maybe I should follow up with a look at congressional retirement benefits and the financial status of the trust fund funds that their and other federal employees' pensions are paid out of. Well, before 1984, federal civil service employees and members of Congress didn't pay Social Security taxes. They weren't eligible for Social Security benefits either. Instead, members of Congress and other federal employees were covered by a separate pension plan called the Civil Service Retirement System, CSR or CSRS. The 1983 amendments to the Social Security Act, however, required all federal employees first hired after 1983 to participate in Social Security. The changes also required all members of Congress to participate as of January 1, 84, regardless of when they first entered Congress. Because CSRS wasn't designed to coordinate with Social Security, Congress created a new retirement plan for federal workers called the Federal Employees Retirement System Act of 1986. Members of Congress first elected in 1984 or later are now covered as a result automatically under the Federal Employees Retirement System, known as FERS. All senators and representatives serving as members before September 30, 2003 are allowed to decline this coverage and stay in the CSRS, but representatives entering office on or after that date can't choose to be excluded from such coverage. Today, members are covered by one of four different retirement plans: one, CSRS and Social Security; two, the so-called CSRS offset plan, which includes both CSRS and Social Security, but with CSR contributions and benefits reduced by Social Security contributions and benefits. The third one, FERS, which includes the FERS basic retirement annuity, Social Security, and a thrift savings plan known as the TSP, or for Social Security alone. Members of the armed services participate in a separate military retirement system. By the way, the thrift savings plan is a defined contribution retirement plan similar to those authorized under 401k of the tax code for employers in the private sector that can be used to supplement their federal pension. TSP employee contributions may also be made on a pre-tax basis, like a 401k, in which case neither the contributions nor investment earnings that accrue to the plan are taxed until the money's withdrawn. Congressional pensions, like those of other federal employees, are financed through a combination of employee and government agency, i.e. taxpayer, contributions. All members pay Social Security payroll taxes of 6.2%, up to the Social Security taxable wage base, which is $160,200 this year. They also pay, as they almost always have, the 1.45% Medicare payroll tax. Now, members first covered by FERS before 2013 also pay 1.3% of full salary to the Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund. Members first covered by FERS in 2013 contribute 3.1% to civil service retirement. Making matters even more complicated, members first covered by FERS after 2013 contribute 4.4% of pay to the CSR plan, and members covered by the CSRS offset pay 1.8% of the first $160,200. And 8% of salary above that amount into the Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund. Now, under both CSRS and FERS, members of Congress are eligible for a pension at 62 if they've completed at least 5 years of service, or at age 50 with 20 years of service, or at any age after 25 years of service. The amount of pension depends on a member's length of service and their average of the highest 3 years of salary, which I believe is currently $174,000. As of October 1, 2018, the most recent date for which data could be found, there were 617 former members of Congress receiving federal pensions based fully or in part on their congressional service. Of that total, 318 retired under CSRS and were receiving an average annual pension of roughly $75,500. 299 members had retired with service under FERS and were receiving an average annual pension of about $41,200. Now, the CSRDF, that Retirement Disability Fund, pays benefits to retired and disabled federal employees covered under the programs. Annual contributions are required from participating federal agencies using a payroll-based allocation method. Contributions in excess of the amount needed to cover benefit payments each month are invested in the same types of special issue treasuries as Social Security, Disability, and Medicare trust funds and count toward gross government debt. In fiscal year 22, for example, the government, again, taxpayers, contributed a total of $182 billion for federal employee retirement, $116 billion for civilian employees, and $66 for uniformed military employees. According to the Congressional Budget Office, it's expected to grow by 48% by 2033 to $269 billion, $167 for civilian and $102 billion for military retirement. As of September 30, 2021, the CSR, the Disability Fund, had net assets available for future benefits of $986.3 billion based on assets of $994.8 billion and liabilities of $8.5 billion. Retirement is big business in the U.S., ladies and gentlemen, and the world over. It's why we'll continue to inform you on trends and developments, especially those that affect your pocketbook as contributions to these federal employee trust funds do. Our latest American Survival newsletter has hit the streets. It features Doug Nolan's Credit Bubble Bulletin blog on The Calm Before the Storm and Apothecary Herb's Wendy Wilson's Food for Thought column on the food additive stevia. And in addition to Melody's weekly financial market recap, I have an article that asks, are markets and investors bewitched by the Fed? Markets have twitchy triggers and investors itchy fingers these days. Or perhaps it's just the way they have their high-frequency computer algorithms programmed. Either way, it's why analysts like Felix Salmon see markets trembling at the Fed's every twitch. And yet, he points out, it doesn't seem to be having much effect on the economy, as we mentioned earlier. Salmon adds that the Fed's main policy tool, even more important than setting interest rates or printing money, is the trust that Americans have in it, in the Fed, to do the right thing. According to recent surveys, a majority of Americans believe the U.S. is in an ongoing recession that the Fed has not only failed to prevent, but is seen as having caused it, or is on the verge of causing it. Analysts say the economy is running hotter than it should be, that the job market remains tight with headline unemployment at historic lows, and that mixed signals abound about the scope of the coming downturn. Yes, another recession is inevitable eventually, but economists' forecasts for when it might arrive keep getting pushed back. If the economy does fall into a traditional recession soon, it will be because the Fed has been hiking rates more aggressively than at any time since 1980. Salmon says a lot of Americans who believe we're already in a recession are deeply upset about inflation. And inflation has certainly moderated somewhat since the Fed started tightening over a year ago, but it's far more questionable whether inflation is coming down because of Fed hikes. Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic said last week the increase in interest rates has slowed several sectors of the economy, most notably housing and commercial real estate. However, other parts of the economy have not slowed so much. Consumer spending has remained robust, he added, And that GDP growth figures are still running stronger than expected. And now more company executives are buying into the higher for longer line about interest rates. How do we know that? Well, Kate Marino at Axios shows how they're running up the debt market now before borrowing costs go up even higher. She calls it a capitulation to the new reality. It's a behavior shift from last year when rising rates had many companies sitting on the capital market sidelines. Well, the investment grade bond market, where companies with higher credit ratings, typically AAA, AA, single A, and triple B, saw a record February for new bond placements despite soaring yields. This month's final tally of $147 billion far exceeded economist expectations of $90 to $100 billion. A key index that measures the market jumped from yielding 4.9% on February 2nd to 5.56% at the end of the month. Remember how corporate bond issuance slowed considerably last year? Well, because rate volatility made it difficult for bankers to place deals with investors. Plus, many companies freaked at yields that were a lot higher than anything they'd seen in the investment grade market over the last decade. And companies are now warming, albeit reluctantly, to the idea that we may not be returning to the low rate world of the last decade anytime soon. For those who've been hoping that rates would eventually return to pre-pandemic levels once inflation got under control, it helps to figure out what or when those before times were. The 10-year Treasury, the primary metric for corporate borrowing, was below 3% for only two periods in modern history, the post-Great Depression and the post-Great Recession eras. Robert Tipp at PGIM, Fixed Income, observed, quote, the level of rates that we had from 2012 to 2022, we've never seen before except after the Great Depression and World War II. Well, Tipp believes that all the recent data pointing to the strength of the economy and labor market amid these rapid rate hikes means the neutral interest rate may, well, very well have moved up. Now, again, in its most basic form, the neutral interest rates, the short-term interest rate that would generally prevail when the economy is at full or maximum employment and stable inflation. Thus, if the 10-year yield settles into a range that's more consistent with historical average than the 2010s, we could see it reshaping borrowing strategies for corporate America, which got used to pretty ultra-cheap money for many years. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll return on Thursday. Butch will join Melody tomorrow along with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. I'm Dave Allen. I'm heading to my restroom to gargle. Thanks as always to our producer Todd and to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning into Financial Survival. Please be safe out there. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me.